Hello? I can about half understand you. The service is really bad. Where are you at?
I'm in the middle of the desert headed towards Salt Lake City.
Yeah, you're supposed to be here tonight playing a show at the depot.
I know. I'm trying to get there. It's early in the morning, and we had to stop to get permits for the bus and the trailer.
So
at the weigh station.
So where are you guys at?
You know what, dude? I mean, I could send you my GPS coordinates, but I would have to. I literally see mountains. I see grassland. I see the other part of the highway. That's what I see. I see literal, like, most majestic, beautiful mountains out here in the desert.
But not a town to be seen.
Not a town to be seen. Way out here with the cacti.
The cacti and the coyotes. Have you been to Winnemucca yet? Are you past Winnemucca?
Are we doing the interview?
Yeah.
there's some green, beautiful plants growing in. It looks like they've had some water, so there's like a beautiful some of the desert plants are blooming yellow blossoms.
Oh, gorgeous!
And it looks beautiful, man. I'll send you. You know what? I'll tweet a picture.
Okay.
In a minute.
Where can I find that?
You can find all my pictures at Richard Patrick Instagram or Twitter, Richard Patrick.
Okay.
Then there's the band info, which is officialfilter.com. And then there is, we have the Facebook and everything like that. You can find us.
Sure. Or there's a great website I've heard of that helps you find all that stuff. It's Google.
Yeah, you hit the Googles and you go filter band, filter music, filter music, and it pops right up.
Although,
we're the number one thing that pops up.
Although I will say that I did find some interesting information about my water filter as I was looking up some information that I wanted to ask you about here in Salt Lake.
That was definitely one of the drawbacks for having a one word non-internet band name. I should have probably spelled it with two L's or something, and I could have had my own section of the web, but such is life.
I didn't
know about the internets when I was putting Filter together back in 91.
Did you come up with the name Filter then?
I came up with the name Filter right around 91 when I had toured with Nine Inch Nails, and Trent looked at me and said, "I was kind of bummed because he was going to New Orleans and he had a big record contract that he was signing, and all this stuff was happening, and I was going back to live with my mom and dad, in my mom and dad's basement."
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of looked at me and said, "I was like, man, you're going to go off to New Orleans and, go do all this new stuff, and I'm not going to really be around for any of that." And he was like, "Well, why don't you go write a record?" And I thought to myself, that's kind of a truthful but yet ticky thing to say to me. So
sure.
I went off and I wrote "Hey Man, Nice Shot," and "Dose," and "Spent," and "Under," and then about 93, he invited me out to work on the Downward Spiral. I played him "Hey Man, Nice Shot" and stuff like that. He was really into it, but then I got a call from a manager about an hour later, and the manager said, "Well, you can't own any of it, but we'll give you credit." And I thought to myself, well, so you want me to build the house, but I can't have anything to do with it other than building it.
Yeah, I can't
live in it.
It can't be your house.
I can't own it.
No name on the mailbox.
Yeah, I can't have my name on the mailbox, but I could have like a tent out in the backyard. Maybe I could sit in. So I went off and got signed to Warner Brothers, and the rest is history. I've been
making music for a long time. Now, I love Trent, and him and I, you know, joke and talk about the good old days back then.
Now, you guys met in Ohio, right? Is that the connection? You're from Ohio, he's from Ohio?
Yeah, well, no, he was from Erie, and he came to the biggest city that was next to, like, he was, like, thinking about trying to get out to New York, or Cleveland was closer, so it was, like, his stepping stone to a bigger city. And then he was in a band called the Exotic Birds, and I met him when I was, like, 17 or 18. And he worked at Pi Keyboards and Audio, and I'd gotten to know him, and he'd always wanted to maybe work with me on some level, and then all of a sudden I heard he got a record contract, and I saw him outside of Pi Keyboards and Audio. He was like, "Hey, dude, come and hang out with us." And I'm like, "Okay." So I went and hung out with him, and then he played me Down in It,
mm-hmm.
and then he played Head Like a Hole, and I was like, "Well, Head Like a Hole is a massive hit, man. That's gotta be huge." And he goes, "You think so?" I said, "Yeah. It's got everything." And he was like, "Why don't you come on tour with us?"
Jeez.
And I was like, "All right." So it us was him and his buddy Chris Brenna, and Chris was kind of like the nuts, and he was kind of the right hand man. Like, he kind of helped Trent move gear from his car to his. I mean, it was like that basic back then. You know, the computer involved a bunch of samplers and, you know, the Mac, and then you'd have to set it up, and, like, that was basically what Nine Inch Nails was this computer and, like, some 2.5-inch tape, and...
Jeez.
And then I kind of jumped in, and, you know, I was the guitar player, but I was more of a performer for the band, and then when I started to get creative ideas, you know, it was like, wow, if I don't just do the whole thing, I'm not going to really have anything to do with, you know, Nine Inch Nails. So when I did Filter, and we had our huge, you know, all of our success, you know, it was amazing. It was really a blessing. I mean, how many people have done that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How many people have left and gone on to do something that's gone platinum and, you know, done all that stuff. So,
there's not many, and that's a huge tribute to you, because I'm sure that there's a lot of people that are like, you know what, I'm going to go do my hit thing, I'm going to go do this, and then you never hear from that individual ever again.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, and you know, here we are still going, and I've never sounded better. I'm like the healthiest I've ever been, and I scream harder than I've ever screamed, and, you know, I love what I do, you know, and I think that's why we've been around so long, and, you know, so, I'm excited to be here. You know what I mean? I'm glad to be able to play a concert in Salt Lake City tonight. You know, it means a lot to me.
I want to ask you about, so you went to school in Ohio then, yeah? Over on the west side, am I right?
Yeah. Cleveland, Ohio. I went to Bay Village.
Which I used to live in Westlake, and then I...
Oh, awesome!
And so for me, I'm reading over stuff, and I'm like, oh, Cleveland boy, that's easy. I know where the rest is.
What were you? We played you guys in football all the time.
Yeah, here's the best story, Richard. I was there on a Mormon mission. I was assigned to Cleveland as a Mormon missionary.
Wow, that's awesome! What and how many people turned?
How many did I get? I got a couple. It's not befitting of me to brag about it, but let's just say one of the best. All right.
What do you think of that movie, The Book of Mormon, or the play?
The musical?
I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it.
You know, it hasn't come here to Salt Lake yet. Of all places, you think it would come here, but it has not come here yet. But, you know, a lot of it is accurate, and I think that that's what people don't care for about it. And then I think there's a lot of inaccuracies, and I think that's where people kind of get up in arms about it. But I'm a good sport about that stuff.
Yeah. So everybody, whatever gets you through the day.
Yeah.
Just like John Lennon used to say, you know, whatever gets you through the day. I just don't like it when congressmen jump in and start pushing around people because they, you know, their religious beliefs. I don't believe in that. I think that America's it's all about religious freedom, but I think that we paid a heavy price when we mix church and state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, science and all the scientists that were burned at the stake, and Galileo being inquisitioned and having to be imprisoned in his own home for 9 years when he was, should be, you know, working on his telescope and discovering more planets. He discovered Jupiter and Saturn. He was also a key component in proving heliocentrism, which is, you know, the fundamentals of our solar system, in the sense that the sun is actually the center of it. It's the biggest body in our solar system, and we revolve around it. And that went against the Catholic Church, and of course the Catholic Church imprisoned everybody and told everybody to go burn their science books.
Yeah.
So we paid a heavy price, and I think that it's great that people can be religious and stuff and have that.
Yeah.
Do their thing. But boy, when they start mixing it up in the politics, man, me and all the other atheists get pretty worried.
I want to talk about Cleveland being such an awesome rock town that is so underestimated.
Well, it's actually not. I mean, I don't want to pick on Cleveland, but, you know, I brought my big record contract back to Cleveland, and I went to, like, the grog shop, and I looked for musicians, and I asked this one kid to audition for Filter, and lo and behold, the guitar player attacked me and beat me up.
Really?
His current band. And he didn't beat me up, but he claims he did, but I just kind of, I was so drunk that I just kind of, like, fell onto a table and laughed about it. But there was such an incestuously small community of musicians that played kind of the music that I played. I had to move. I grabbed Frank Cavanaugh, and then I moved to Chicago, and that's where I met Matt Walker and Gino and Brian Liesking, and that's where all those guys came from. So it was, right now I'm Akron, you know, put out the Black Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's great. And same with Chrissy Hynde, but you can't call that Cleveland. You know what I mean? It's too far away from Cleveland. And Cleveland kind of wants to take some of that. And I'm like, no. You can't do that. But, you know, I'll tell you what, I love Cleveland. It's a great town. I'm really glad that that Tom Hanks has actually brought the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions to Cleveland. I think that that's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to have these champions like that. Tom Hanks he grew up in Cleveland, and he used to work over at the Cleveland State Theater. And he did a lot of stuff there. But, you know, Cleveland, man, it's got to get a little bit more vivacious. I wish there was some mentoring that could go on there, because there's a lot of bands, but they're so on the fringes out there that they don't, you know, when you go to a town like Chicago, you know, there's 10 artists that are signed there. You
mm-hmm.
know, when I moved to Chicago in 95, it was like, you know, it was like Billy Corgan, Seether, Veruca Salt, Urge Overkill, Ministry, you know, and all his bands, the Revolting Cox and all that stuff.
Sure.
There was a pretty heavy scene going on there. And, you know, and then when it came to, you know, the last 10 years, I mean, you know, there's a lot of other, you know, there's Fall Out Boy, there's Chevelle, there's,
well,
you know, so.
Yeah, you get into other stuff, too. You get, like, your OK Goes and your Plain White Tees, all from Chicago, and that certainly being a rich. Is there a town in particular where you think, as you've toured around with different bands or you listen to different music, that you're like, oh, man, you know what, that town is an underestimated town?
Well, it's all gone. It's all gone internet. And bands are discovered quickly, and they quickly become national acts.
Do you think that? Do you think that's good, or do you think that's bad?
I mean, the thing is it's like, now everybody's doing this whole thing with you know, retro. Everybody's got to have a typewriter instead of having, like, an iPhone.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to, like, I've had literally 25-year-old kids trying to convince me that vinyl is the only way to really listen to music. And I'm like, really? Because back in 1979, when I was 10, and I put one scratch on my brother's records, and I didn't clean it, and we didn't buy the most nice, the best turntable. You know, when CDs hit the market, it was like, thank technology so much. Thank you, geniuses that took that laser disc and invented that. And I mean, it was so hard to get a good sound out of the vinyl. And it's funny because, you know, I have these kids that are like, well, the frequencies aren't the same. I said, dude, the frequencies are way wider, because the reason why they have mastering is so that the records didn't jump out of the groove, the needles didn't jump out of the grooves on the record.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they had mastering. You try and tell a 25-year-old kid that, it's like, see, now we're using mastering to make it just sound cooler and, like, put more low end, or just, you know, equalize it so that it's good on every radio, you know, good on radio, good on, you know, your iPod, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, they're trying to convince it. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, here, I'll sign it and you can buy it. But the sound quality of a CD is it's literally, it has way more frequencies represented than. So it's funny. I get to watch a lot of that stuff. And, you know, when I see the revival stuff, I'm like, wow, the old school, you know, stuff that happened in Nashville and stuff like that is pretty intense. And I think that's awesome. And, there's so much music from West Virginia and a lot of that stuff. So I get the roots thing, but when they're trying to, you know, it's like when they recycle it and they try and put their, you know, like, this is, you know what I mean? When they're trying to say, like, I don't know, I just get a little weary when it becomes secular. You know what I mean? When it's on, like, generations, you know, the second or third generation, it's like, okay.
Yep, here comes this again. Here comes this again. And then we'll go into this thing. And then this thing will be big. And then we'll come back to this. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it's like, you know, Nine Inch Nails and Skinny Puppy and Ministry, we were trying to, like, carve out a niche for ourselves, you know. And when I did Filter, I was just adding more guitar to what I thought was industrial, you know, and almost more of a songwriting approach. So I took a songwriter's approach and tried to make a little bit more of a chaotic, sloppy kind of, you know, I mean, we had a, you know, our first record was drum machine with guitars and sound design. And, but yet it was more sounded like we were approaching it from a band point of view. So, you know, there's so many different things you can do, and that's the thing. I mean, Filter, I don't think we want to belong to a genre. I don't think that, you know, it's like we just want to do what Filter does. And the funny thing is like, you know, I see bands and I'm like, I can sum them up in 5 seconds. I'm like, oh, okay, so those guys are like Chevelle meets, you know, the radio rock right now. Boom, done. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like, and for Filter, it's like, yes, certain songs are a little bit more industrial. Certain songs have acoustic guitars. Certain songs, you know, are heavy. You know, I like mixing it up, and I think it's been hard for a marketing standpoint because, you know, there's always a label that's like, dude, put a pentagram on your kick drum and wear black and get some tattoos on your face and get some earrings and, you know, be heavy metal. Just cash in. And it's like, dude, I don't want to conform. You talk about, you know, a conservative movement. The heavy metal crowd is so conservative on what is heavy metal and what is not heavy metal. And it's like, oh, my gosh. I just wanted to make music that was from my heart, like, represented who I was at the moment. And so when you buy, like, this record, The Sun Comes Out Tonight, you know, you're getting not only the kind of heavy stuff that comes, you know, from being aggravated by, you know, life is a bitch sometimes,
sure.
You know? at the same time, we can do a song like Surprise, and you can do a lot of stuff with my voice. And so I like to be soft and be a little bit more emotional. And, you know, songs like Surprise, our new single, it's like, to me, that's the other side of Filter. And, you know, and Take a Picture was probably our biggest hit ever, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason for that, Ernst, and that honestness, and that's why it catched on, it caught on. And, you know, I think that's important. I think that if you're an artist, you should really explore what you can do, and I think that's the most important thing. And so, you know, you can't just sum us up by our picture and, you know, and put a heavy metal thing on it and you know, and wrap it up and send it to somebody, and it's not that easy to you know, compartmentalize us. But at the same time, if you get into it and if you listen to it, you'll find that there's a lot of ground that we cover emotionally, and I think it falls under what I would consider modern rock, and I think that rock is anything involving a guitar.
Yeah.
And it's not from the 1900s, and it's not from, it's like, it's, we're not playing rock and roll, we're not playing blues, we're playing modern rock, and we're trying to forge ahead and have that, you know.
Richard, I have to go, you have to go, you need to get here for doing the show tonight at the Depot. I'm going to end this thing out with playing a little bit of Surprise. And
absolutely. And Surprise is, we were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. How handy.
Yeah, right? See how convenient that is? So let people listen to that.
You and me, we should do a radio show. Let's do it.
Oh, you stop it. You stop it.
We could talk about Westlake and Cleveland. You guys came over and painted our rocket. I know that. I know that the Westlake guys came over and painted our rocket.
Yeah.
In your colors. Yeah. What were your colors?
I don't know.
Green and yellow.
Yeah, I want to say, I was going to say blue and yellow, but it's green and yellow.
Green and white, or green and yellow. Yeah, you came over and painted our rocket.
And
we were the Bay High Rockets, and you guys were the Westlake, what were you guys?
I want to say Pioneers, but that's not correct.
Wow, you don't remember your high school.
Well, it was only the town I was serving my mission in, and it wasn't where I lived there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you. Yeah, that's right. You were on a mission.
Yeah, no. So I lived there, but
you were a man on a mission.
Yeah, I was.
All right. Well, yeah. Good. Well, good for you.
No, good for you. Let's play a little bit of Surprise, and we'll see you tonight at the Depot. Thanks, man.
You got it. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye bye.